And sadly, chances are that for most of us, one of the areas that needs particular attention is this area called pride.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, Pastor Brian Grant began tonight's message by taking us to the book of Judges and the account of one of Israel's judges by the name of Samson to show how, in spite of enormous invested potential, this young man was led astray by his lustful passions. Unholy relationships proved to be the downfall of Samson. We will hear this evening about his sad fate. Nevertheless, there is hope from the life of Samson, and this evening, as he concludes his message, Pastor Grant will show how that even though the consequences for disobeying God are severe, there is still hope for the fallen Christian. So we invite you to listen along with us as Pastor Grant concludes his message entitled, Grace for the Fallen. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
You know, I've actually heard people in recent times, because so much has changed in Christian circles, I've heard young people say that sex drives are normal, and God, the reason God gave them to us, he wants us to use them. Uh-oh. Have you ever heard that one? Yes, he does, but in a proper context. You know, if you were a camel, then I could understand. You say, well, Brian, why are you bringing up a camel? Because a few years ago, my family, we were in Florida, and we went to one of these animal parks. Two camels decided it was time to mate. And all I can tell you, it was the most unbelievable experience you would have ever witnessed. The noise and the pandemonium. Oh my goodness, I don't even want to leave that image in your mind for too long. But listen, these camels, all these people were gathering around, and these camels did not care because they could not exercise self-control. But aren't you glad you're not a camel? And we can exercise self-control. And Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 tells us, whoever cannot control his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Thank God we don't have to be like that city broken down without walls. We can control our desires. Listen, God gave you those desires, but he gave you those desires that you can exercise them under his control. Sinful pleasure will always damage us, no matter what sinful pleasure you indulge in. Samson's issue was sexual sin. What is your sin? What is your sin? Oh, some people have, you know, there are all sorts of sins. We don't have time to go into it. But God is talking to every one of us this morning, and he's using Samson's illustration. Here it was a sexual sin. What is your area? It's rampant now, pornography. Listen, because we can do pornography on the internet and nobody knows, or so we think. Because sometimes we're looking around to see who might see, but we forget to look up. You see, pornography is one of the big issues that's destroying young men, destroying young women, destroying families. And I warn you, young men, if you're caught in pornography, you need to get help. Do not stay on that path. Get help. But for some, it's alcohol. In fact, alcohol is clearly one of the big challenges of our society, because here we are in this wonderful United States of America, and we're shutting down almost every other business except the beer distributor. Because the beer distributor is regarded as an essential service. God have mercy on us that the beer distributor is now regarded as essential. Why? Because so many of us have a problem with alcohol. Is that your problem? Listen, the Bible says that you can drink wine, but it is warning us about excess. It's not a matter of whether you had a beer or you had a glass of wine. The question is, if every single day you find you can't manage, without a glass of beer or a cup or some wine, something is wrong. And if it means that you're going to go to excess, something is wrong. And I'm here to warn you, my friend, that sinful pleasures damaged Samson, and it will damage us as well. Listen good. Write this down. Sin will take us further than we intended to go, will hold us longer than we intended to stay, and will cost us more than we intended to pay. Let me say that again. Sin will take us further than we intended to go. It will hold us longer than we intended to stay, and cost us more than we intended to pay. May God help us that we don't allow ourselves to become shipwrecked by continuing in a path of sinful pleasure. Samson allowed sinful relationships to derail him. Secondly, he allowed sinful pleasures to damage him. But third, he allowed sinful pride to destroy him. Sinful pride destroyed Samson. I'm back in Judges 16, verse number 4. Afterwards, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. I think we all know that name. The story of Samson and Delilah has made some blockbuster movies. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." That's a lot of money. So Delilah said to Samson, "Please, honey, tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bounded him with them. Now men were lying in wait, hiding in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson, but he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." If this is not a crazy story, you would have thought that after the initial drama, after he told her where his secret of his strength lay, although that was a lie, you would have thought that since she acted on it and had him tied up, you would think that Samson would run. But Samson didn't run. Listen, it was because of a little thing called pride. Samson's great strength had made him immensely proud. He had gotten so proud, he was willing to put himself in harm's way. For he was so cocky, he felt sure no one could overcome his enormous strength. I wonder if you realize that's what was going on here. This man was so strong, he figured he could put himself in any situation and nobody could hold on to him. Nobody could tie him. He was so strong, he could overpower anyone and everyone. But pride was the sin that eventually led to Samson's destruction. Because as we get towards the end of chapter 16, he stayed and Delilah, his pride made him stay right there with Delilah till eventually he told her his secret. And I guess he figured he'd be okay. You know, he shaved his hair off and he lost his strength. Verse 21, "Then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in prison." Listen, this proud man had lost his eyes, and he had lost his freedom, and he had lost his strength. God hates pride. In Proverbs 6, the Bible gives a list of 7 things God hates. And pride was the first thing on the list. But pride is so subtle that we find it easy to convince ourselves that we're not proud. Have you noticed you've hardly ever heard a sermon on pride? There are so few sermons on pride because somehow most Christians, in fact, I preached once about pride, and a gentleman stopped me after. I'm not going to tell you which church it was, but somebody stopped me after and said, it's a pity I didn't take better advantage of the time because there's no need for us to talk about pride. I wondered after he had asked me that, could that be possible that he was the exact one that the message was designed for? You see, somehow we are so proud, we don't even realize we're proud. But my friend, this is actually a very serious thing. Pride is a serious thing. Interestingly, all the other stuff, you know, some of us are proud that we're not like Samson. We don't have a problem with sinful relationships. We don't have a problem with sinful pleasure. That's not our problem. And sometimes if you're not careful, you look down your nose at all the people who do. I'm so glad I'm not like them. You don't even have grace to try and help them. You have no compassion for this person who is struggling. And now that, you know, it used to be that you didn't have 2 dimes to rub together. And now that you have a lot of $100 bills, you don't want to hang around those who have less than you. In fact, even our Christian church is divided a lot because of pride. And this morning, God wants to warn all of us. Listen, in this message, as we look at the life of Samson, God is saying to us that every single person listening this morning, there is some area that you need to get together. And sadly, chances are that for most of us, one of the areas that needs particular attention is this area called pride.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The most destructive of all the areas is the area we tend to sidestep. But this morning God wants to speak to us, and he's saying, listen, if you continue in the path where you think you're so special, you're going to really be disappointed along the way. C.S. Lewis once said, sexual sin, listen to me good. He said, sexual sin, anger, greed, and drunkenness are mere flea biters in comparison to pride. He said, for it was pride. Why the devil? It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. Are you guilty of pride? As the Spirit of God speaks to you this morning, would you at least be willing to admit that there is this possibility that you do have some areas, some pockets of pride? Listen, God hates pride. It's number one on the list of the 7 things that God hates. It doesn't mean those are the only thing God hates, but this is a list of 7 things God hates, and number one is pride. I believe it's because of our pride. Why sometimes we figure we can sin and get away with it. Perhaps I'm speaking to you this morning and you're doing some stuff and you expect to get away with it. Do you realize why we think we can get away? It's because we think we're so special. It's like that young person. They've heard some drugs has seriously impacted so many people, but they figure, I can use drugs for a little bit. I won't get caught. Why? There is something in you that makes you believe you're so special, you are exempt. Whatever it is this morning, my friend, as you listen to God's word, whatever it is that makes you feel you're exempt, God is saying, listen, don't allow pride to lead you into other vices. Make a decision today to go God's way. Well, Samson had started out so promising, but he had allowed sin to destroy him. And I pray that we won't allow that to happen, that today we will repent and change course. Samson was now in fetters with his eyes gouged out. Was it too late? Could God's grace still reach him? Perhaps I'm speaking to a Christian who you messed up just like Samson. Your life is a total mess. And you know, one of the things that Satan loves to do, anytime you are off track, the devil, after a while, he convinces you, you may as well keep going because there is no hope for you. God really is finished with you. God has no use for you. You've messed up so badly that God is finished with you. And he wants to get you to believe that, so you will just keep on sinning. But my friend, the devil is a liar. For God's grace, let me say it clearly, God's grace is extended even to the fallen. And no matter how bad you may have fallen, God's grace is extended to you today, and God wants to change you today. Let's look at how God's grace changed Samson. Hebrews chapter 11. Keep your finger in Judges, but let's go for a minute to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from verses 30 to verse 34. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And I think most of you all know that the Hebrews 11 is regarded as the Hall of Heroes, because this chapter 11 lists a number of the great heroes of the Christian faith. Here they are in Hebrews 11. This is the Hall of Fame. Look at verse number 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. I'm going to stop right there. I hope you didn't miss it. Here, as we come to Hebrews chapter 11, in the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Fame, if you would like to say it, Samson is listed. He's listed alongside such great heroes as David and Samuel. Samson is right there. Samson, the same guy who messed up so terribly, Samson found God's grace. He said, Brian, how did this happen? The last we read about Samson, he's in prison. He's tied up. His eyes are gouged out. How in the world does he end up being in the heroes of the faith? Oh, don't miss this. Because in Judges chapter 16, we're back there. Verse 21 says, then the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Why in the world is God telling us that his hair is growing again? God doesn't waste words. You'll find, if you take time to study the Bible, things that seem to have been there just for no reason, everything is there for a reason. And I believe that God told us that for a huge reason. You see, sometimes people say that Samson's power was in his hair. Not really. His power was coming from God, but his hair symbolized dedication to God, because the vow of the Nazarite required that you don't allow a razor to come on your head. So his hair was a sign, a symbol that he was dedicated to God. And I believe as Samson worked the millstone in prison, he confessed his sin and rededicated himself to God. Listen, God had allowed him to come to a point. He had hit rock bottom. And I believe in that moment, Samson finally reawakened. Something in him reawakened. And Samson remembered that he had been made for something great. And my friend, as you listen this morning, I hope you realize that God has made you for something great. Samson realized that he was made for something great, and he confessed his sin to God, and God forgave him. And I believe the scripture mentions that his hair was growing to help us realize that God's grace had restored Samson. Hallelujah. God's grace. Samson had experienced God's grace despite how far he had gone. And so the Bible tells us his hair began to grow. Now that his hair was growing, Samson was looking for one last opportunity to fulfill his purpose. The opportunity came in Judges chapter 16. They had this big party. All the great lords of the Philistines were there. And so Samson, verse 28, he prays. By the way, this is only the second time he prays in the entire book. The first time it was a prayer, he doesn't even mention the name of God in his prayer. It's almost like he's demanding God to give him water. But here, as we read this prayer, he starts off, he calls to the Lord. Uppercase L-O-R-D. He called to the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. He calls on Yahweh and he says, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once. The Bible tells us when he pulled on the house, verse number 30, Samson, let me die with this Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's and all the people were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than all the people he had killed in his life. God answered his prayer, and Samson died. If we had time to read the whole text, we would see that more than 3,000 Philistine leaders died that day. And as a result, Samson died fulfilling God's purpose. For so many Philistine leaders were killed that the deliverance for the Jewish people began. He had fulfilled God's purpose, but he missed the joy of experiencing it during his life. I don't know about you, but my friend, God has made you for something great. Don't wait till your dying breath. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. I've met people who are talking about they're waiting until they're about to die to get saved. I would hate to do that. I want to experience God's will for my life. I want to experience God's plan for my life. Listen, if he has made me for something great, I want to live and fulfill his purpose while I'm alive and well. Wouldn't you like to do that? My friend, I hope this morning, if sin has derailed you, that no matter how far you've slipped, you will turn to the Savior. Because my friend, if you confess your sin to God today and make a decision to change, God's grace will reach you. Friend, no matter what you've done, you can be forgiven. You can start over. You can live a new life for God. For God's grace is available to the fallen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.